and all the goings on with the floods and the winds and all that that we had. And first thing I'd like to say this morning, let's please remember our neighbors, our friends, those people that have been affected by this. Let's remember them in prayer. It's going to take a long time. It's going to take a long time to get this where people will have a place to sleep, eat, and go back to work. So, okay. This morning, I'd like for y'all to remember our pastor in prayer. He's up in Alaska. He's preaching a missions conference up there at his brother-in-law's church. And so he'll be there through Wednesday. And so y'all remember him in prayer. Also, pray for Daniel this morning. He's preaching the morning service. And then pray for Kyle tonight. He'll be doing the evening service. So we need to remember these guys as they stand and preach for us. So also, we want to praise the Lord for the faith promise. It's growing. We thank him for it, and just praise him for what he's done. And everything that comes through our hands is given by him. And so we need to give him glory. This coming Wednesday night, there will be a cancer meeting in the chapel. So if you're part of that cancer program, there will be a meeting over there on Wednesday night. Is that tonight? I beg your pardon. I'm sorry then. I looked at the bulletin wrong. I'm sorry. Okay. Huh? Today's Wednesday. Did you just wake up, Leroy, like me? Okay. All right. I'm sorry about that, y'all. That'll be tonight, okay? And then next Sunday, we're going to have the Lord's Supper in the evening service, so look forward to that. I have talked to a couple of people this morning, and Debbie Deacons has had a little bit setback this week, and so she's going through some things and maybe some different tests and so forth. So remember Debbie in your prayers, and she is part of our cancer group that is going through this at this time, and we pray that you would just remember her when you say your prayers. Also, we're not going to forget the rest of them. There's a list here on your prayer list that we need to remember every day when we pray. And then not only them, but we've got others like Pat Shaw. Pat's suffered, and she's still doing that. Joe said she got down this morning about 4 o'clock. So, you know, some people are really suffering. Also, LaVita Bussell is in Quillen Rehab. She had surgery, and her daughter said that she was having some issues over there, still being sick, and so y'all remember LaVita. Wayne Hauser, who we've been praying for, was over in HC. He's now home, but Wayne's got a long way to go. He broke that leg pretty badly, and so remember him in your prayers. And then last of all, but not least of all, I want to pray for our nation. We're going through some really horrific things right now that we need to pray for the upcoming elections. We need to pray for the people that's in charge leading now. And with things just like these hurricanes and other things that are happening in our nation, we need to pray for God's leadership in their lives, to have them do the right thing. So with that being said, is there any one visiting with us this morning new? You've not been here before. Okay, we're glad for all of you that are here. Also, anybody got any special prayer requests that you've not mentioned before you want us to pray about? Okay. All right, well, I tell you, let's go to prayer. We'll give Brother Talbert all the time we can. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this day, God, for your blessings to us, Lord. And, you know, I remember hearing men pray before, and it's like Brother Edgar Gamble used to say, we're a needy people. And, God, we are needy. And, Lord, I'm just glad that you're a great God. Lord, you watch over us, you bless us. And, Lord, just thank you for all of those blessings. I thank you for Dallas Crum that's back in our services this morning. I had a little scare there, and we prayed for him. And, God, thank you for raising him back up. And, Lord, I pray for all these others that we've mentioned this morning. I pray that you'll be with each one of them. Lord, you'll touch them where they are. God, you'll bless them and give them your strength and your help. And then, Father, we do pray for Brother Talbert this morning as he teaches. Pray, dear God, that you'll let him bring to us what you've given him. And, Lord, then for Brother Daniel as he preaches in the morning service. Thank you for loving us, and we just give you glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Okay, so we have dealt with this concept of cold and hot. He wants us to be one or the other, or both, really. How would thou work, cold or hot? And we have seen from this passage that God is referring or using the analogy of eating, which he is relating to fellowship. And he wants what he eats to be in a certain condition, just like you and me, hot or cold. And from this, the application has been with cold, the way we keep things cold is to isolate them, put them in a thermos, keep them in the refrigerator. And the longer we leave things on the table before we eat them, the more they become what? The exact temperature of the world that's around them. And that's what the Lord is trying to teach us from this, that the longer we stay in contact with this world, the more like this world we're going to be. We're going to be lukewarm. So we've been studying this concept of keeping ourselves cold under the heading of being separate from the world, because that's how you keep things cold. You isolate them, separate them from the world. So I think we've dealt enough with that in these different passages. And so I'd like to talk with you about being hot, because God wants us hot. Amen. Don't we love hot food? It's just so savory, so wonderful, and we're so happy to eat it. And that's exactly how God wants his fellowship with you and me to be. When he takes us into his mouth, he says, oh, that Christian is just so delightful. You ever done that? You go to the restaurant, you get that steak, that first bite, it's so hot, it's so juicy, and you go, oh, that is so good. And that's exactly what the Lord wants when he fellowships with you and me. He wants it to be exactly like that, so hot and fresh and wonderful. But how do we do that? Okay, now first I'm going to talk to you about these people. They were not like that, okay? And we're going to see how God's going to get them back to that condition. And it's a principle that we need to understand. They are lukewarm, amen? I hope everybody in here is hot and cold. I hope nobody in here is lukewarm. I hope nobody is just lazy and letting your life involve itself too much with this world and its pleasures and entertainment. What I'm hoping is we're all hot or cold, hot and cold. Anyway, but they're not. They're lukewarm. And so what has to happen for them, and what we know to keep things hot, we have to keep putting energy, heat into it to keep it hot. So they've become lukewarm, and if you go all the way down to verse 19, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke. Gosh. Isn't that amazing? And chasten, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Here we are. That word zealous, if you look in your Greek lexicon, means to heat or to boil. Be hot. In other words, we've got to get into these lukewarm Christians some heat. And the first way we do that is to be zealous about repenting of our condition. Now, that's how we get back to where God wants us to be. And you and I, this thing of zealousness and boiling, this boiling is this internal turmoil. Have you watched water boil before? And it looks like this roiling inside the water. That's exactly what God's talking about. He wants us, if we've gotten into that condition, or for any sin, he wants us to be internally turmoiled over sin. There is no repentance without it. You can say, like Judas, I have betrayed the innocent blood, and go out and hang yourself, but that's not repentance. We see this again, by the way, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 11. And let me get over there just real quick with you. Paul had written the Corinthians a letter. That's 1 Corinthians. This is 2 Corinthians. And he had dealt with so much sin in the Corinthian church. It was terrible. They are one of the most worldly and sinful churches in his epistles. Verse 8. For though I made you sorry with a letter, that would be 1 Corinthians, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, here it is, but that you sorrowed. Now this is all repentance. This is part of repentance. This is that internal turmoil, the sorrow for sin in our life. But that you sorrowed to repentance, for ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. Here we go. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of this world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort. So he's talking about repentance. He's talking about the relationship to the sin he was dealing with them in 1 Corinthians. But you sorrowed, repented after a godly sort. Now here it is. Now there's seven things mentioned here about godly repentance, whether it's real or not. As a young pastor, I guess pastors everywhere, you have to deal. Not everybody is like you people in here that got it all together. It's amazing the mess God's people can make of their life. There were times in my pastorate where I would lay down with my wife at the end of the day and I would say, I think the whole world has gone crazy but me and you, and I'm worried about you. And it's just, you catch so much sin, and you have to hear so many different things. And some of it is so unneeded. It's like they would come in, and I'd say, I just preached on this a month ago. Were you listening? And it's just amazing, and it's heartbreaking. And I got to the point where I began, as I began to mature as a pastor, you know, and understand things, I began to look for these seven things as to whether they were really repenting or not, because sometimes God's people will go through the motions of getting right, but they don't really. And these are the seven things that we're supposed to look for if it's godly repentance. If somebody's really getting right with God, there's been this internal turmoil, then we should see these seven things. For behold, this selfsame thing, that you godly sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, turmoil, heat, roiling of their soul over their sin. Yea, what vehement desire, here it is again, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all these things you have approved yourself to be clear in this matter. What John in Revelation is trying to do to these lukewarm Christians that are neither cold nor hot is to inject into their lives the beginning of more heat that he is pleased with and that he can bless. Because God does want to bless us, amen? He really does. He does want our life to be a success, but not everybody's is. Obviously, these people's weren't. He was ready to spew them out of his mouth. And so we see here this zeal, once again, this internal turmoil over sin in their life, and they approve themselves to be clear in this matter. And so when somebody is really does want to get right with God, there's a carefulness in them about their life. He says, what carefulness it wrought in you. Do you remember 1 Kings chapter 21 when Elijah dealt with Ahab and he said, you know, your family's going to be destroyed, your wife's going to die, your children are going to die. And Ahab said to verse 27, and it came to pass when Ahab heard these words that Elijah spoke to him, this was an ungodly man, that he rent his clothes, put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted, and lay in sackcloth, and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring evil in his days, but in the days of his son's days will I bring the evil upon him. But go back up to verse 27, and it says, and he lay in sackcloth and went softly, like he was on eggshells. He was being very careful about his life. Now, folks, when somebody supposedly comes to the altar, I watched, years of people coming to the altar, and they would go right back out and do the same thing. And it seemed like they were in zeal, that there was a turmoil, but they weren't careful about their life once they went back out. They went right back to the same thing. Folks, if you really have a zeal, if you're really hot in your soul, you're going to be careful about your life. You'll set up barriers. You'll say, we're not doing that again. You'll be so careful. And kind of like Ahab here, he walked softly. Some of the most amazing statements in the Bible. Amen? It's like he's walking on eggshells. But God saw that. God saw that and said, I will not bring judgment in his day because of how he acted in this repentance. He was very careful. And a great clearing, an indignation. There is in real repentance an indignation about your life. Amen? You're just sick. I just can't believe I did that. I can't believe I thought those thoughts. This is not how a Christian ought to act. Indignant with yourself. What fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what revenge. So, here's how we get heat back in. Amen? If your life's not hot like God wants it to be, it's time for repentance. Whom I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You know you need to do it when God tells you to do it too, by the way. We get to a point where we start coming to church and we ought to do something with that message. You know what I mean? We ought to respond right now, but we get in a round of going to church, and I've heard that before. I'll put that off. We go out, we go to dinner, and all of a sudden we've forgotten all about what God dealt with us about. That's not good. Now, I told my people, and church people like to go out and eat after church. We never did because to go straight to feeding the flesh, and I know we go home to eat, but going out to eat something else, well, if you do, fine. But I encourage my people, if God's speaking to you about something in your life, don't go out to eat. Go somewhere and pray and let God continue the work that he's doing in your heart right now. Don't put it off. Don't be zealous. Start right now and let God continue that work that began during the message. And that's going to help you to do all these other six things that we see in 2 Corinthians, you'll begin to be careful. It'll wrought a good work in you that you won't have to repent of, and you'll go right back to it. Anyway, so to get out of this lukewarm state, we've got to be zealous and repent. I don't know about you. Sin's a problem in my life. I've never been to a bar, never been to a house of ill repute. I've never been out of church. But sin's a problem in my life. And I used to think, I've been saved for 50 years. I think, Lord, surely I would be a better person than I am now after being saved all these years. And dealing with sin in the heart, these attitudes, these things that go in our heart. And there have been times I think, Lord, am I saved? Can somebody really be saved and have all this kind of trouble inside? Do you know what? And it took me a while as I read my Bible and prayed and sought the Lord. Do you know that is one of the greatest indications that you are saved? Because God loves you enough to rebuke you and chasten you about your sin. He's evidencing in your life that he loves you, that you're his child. We didn't look at this thoroughly in John 15. I wanted to look at the negative side of it. But you remember it said, he that abideth in me, he purgeth. That means he keeps them clean. The very next verse he says, and the word, I can't quote it now, but you remember, and the word cleanseth you. This is what he does for people that are in the vine. He keeps helping them by dealing with them about things in their heart so that they can stay in a state of intimate vine branch union. The only way we can do that is if he deals with us about sin. That's an ongoing work. We'll never be done with that. When was the last time you got hot in repentance? That there was an internal turmoil in you just about the state of your heart. If you're his, he loves you enough to keep doing that. Whether you've been saved 2 or 20 or 50 years, I'm glad my Savior still deals with me about what's going on in my heart. And there are seasons, by the way, when I can't hardly lift up my head. And I just pray and ask God to forgive this old wicked heart and to give me grace. And then he does, of course, and keeps me, washes it through the confession of sin and begins to give me grace again. That's Christianity. Be zealous, therefore. We need to have this internal heat about getting right over sin. How else can we tell if we're hot, by the way? Look with me, if you would, in Titus chapter 2. So this is injecting heat back into lukewarm Christians, but where else are we expected to be hot? Hot for our God. I would that thou were either cold or hot. Titus 2 and verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us. Oh, we love that, don't we? He gave himself. Well, we sung about that this morning. Him giving himself for us that he might redeem us. How we love that. From all iniquity. Yea. And purify unto himself a peculiar people. What? Zealous. Hot. Of good works. Ask yourself, don't look at me. I hope the Lord's looking at you. What are you doing for your Savior that you are passionate about? I mean, you're hot. You want something, and you're doing it for his cause. He has involved you in it. And do not get me wrong. I know that all of us in here are 60 plus, 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 plus. My energy is wearing out too. Amen? And I can't do what I did 10 years ago, 30 years ago. And I understand that. But there ought to be something you are hot about in the work of God. If all you can do is pray, if all you can do is pray for that one brother, there ought to be some good work that you're passionate about, that you're zealous about, because God said, saved him unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, folks, if you're not zealous about something involving your life for Christ, I'm sorry, you might just be lukewarm. I don't know you, so I don't know. I can't do what I used to do, but we can go up and help Brother Nathan. We just sit there and we're crowd control, amen? And but we've gotten a burden again for young people. We sit there and we watch them and we pray for them and all these wonderful bus kids that are coming, and they're so precious, and we want them to, for God to do something. It's a wonderful thing to be zealous of some good work, amen? I don't know what it is for you. It might not be young people. We were just wanting something we can do. You know what our watchword is now? When we were young, it was seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. Let's just put God first. Our watchword now is the woman that washed Jesus' feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. What did he say of her? She hath done what she could. Now, that's our watchword now, is two old people. We can't do what we did before in the work of God, but we can do what we can. We can do a little bit, just like that woman did. And how about you? What are you zealous for? Are you lukewarm? Zealous of good works. Now, next week, I'm going to talk about one more attribute of being hot for God, and then we'll move on to some other texts. Father, bless us now in our desire to be hot, to be zealous, to be on fire for you. It won't be what others can do, but we can get passionate and full of zeal for something. Help us to, that we not be lukewarm and you be sick of us and spew us out of your mouth. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, folks. Thank you. Can you unhook me? Thank you.
As Tim says, I've been working out lately, but what did you thank you for? Yeah. Thank you, Danny.
Yep. Stop.